Thank you for coming today. Hi to all our new friends who are with us. If you are new today, please fill out one of our cards in the pews or go to the website and click the button that says I'm new. Second Family, we need your help with Vacation Bible School. VBS starts June 21st. Second Kids, let's start inviting our friends. Parents, if you can help, please let my mom, Miss Danger, know. Don't forget to pray for our Ukraine mission team. No evening services tonight, and don't forget the church office is closed on Monday. Let's start by praying and then sing loud for Jesus today.
Well, when you're a preacher's kid and there's nobody else, you get inserted into the lineup. So, thanks again for joining us. We do have children's church that's happening. That's where Katie and the kids are this morning and others. So if you would like to be a part of that, we've got some folks outside, just outside of the doors, that'll help you get your kids there. That's up through fourth grade. And so we have that every Sunday, with the exception of first Sunday, because the first Sunday of the month is Family Day. And so we enjoy our kids being with us once a month to worship with us and be with us. So let me pray, and then we will begin our service. Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful, and we thank you for your love and affection toward us. We thank you for the joy of the salvation that you give us, and I pray that all that we say and do here this morning would be Christ-honoring. I pray for our kids as they celebrate you, they worship you in children's church this morning, that it would bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, I lift up our mission team that's in Ukraine. God, that you would be with them, give them strength, minister to them. Lord, I pray that all that is said and done would make much of Jesus today. And Lord, we just love you, we praise you, we thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand as we sing, I Love Thee, a song of pure praise to Jesus.
I love Thee, I love Thee, I love Thee, my Lord. I love Thee, my Savior, I love Thee, my God. I love Thee, I love Thee, and that Thou dost know. But how much I love Thee, my actions will show. I'm happy, oh, wondrous account. My joys are immortal, I stand on the mount. I gaze on my treasure and long to be there with Jesus and angels and kindred so dear. Jesus, my Savior, with Thee I am blessed. My life and salvation, my joy and my rest. Thy name be my theme and Thy love be my song. Thy grace shall inspire both my heart and my tongue. Oh, who's like my Savior? I'll praise Him, I'll praise Him with notes loud and clear. Thou givers of pleasure, my spirit shall sing. Worthy of all the Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
I will pray. Him there, the great I am, a crown of thorns upon His head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank You for the cross. Lifted up on Calvary's hill, we cursed Your name, and even still You bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank You for the cross.
Victory is Yours.
Before we go any further, I do want to take a moment and recognize that on this weekend, once a year, we remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And I'm, whether online or in person, if folks are watching, of families who have had someone in our military pay the ultimate sacrifice, we want to say thank you and recognize that we gather here today and can sing praise to our God, open the Bible, and gather without any fear because of that freedom. And as we celebrate this weekend, as we remember, thank you seems so insufficient to those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, but we want to take a moment and say with that we have a heart of gratitude, and we need to remember that there are many issues and there are many things facing our country, but we still live in the greatest country on the planet. And we have the greatest freedoms in the world because men and women have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And so with that, before we go any further, I want to stop and pray, because here's the reality. Many are still paying that sacrifice. And many daily succumb through suicide because of the tragedies and the heartache and the incredible trauma that they have faced serving our country. And so let's take a moment and pause and pray for them and pray for our nation. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And God, I thank you that men and women for whom I've never met volunteered throughout the history of our nation so that we could have freedom. And God, I pray for their families. God, you would minister to them. You would heal their broken hearts. You would give them strength and you would provide for them. I pray that our nation would take great care of their families. And God, I pray for our soldiers that are on the front lines right now, that some of whom will pay the ultimate sacrifice, God, that you would be with them. And Lord, I pray for those that are in the fight of their life here in our own country, that God, you would minister to them, you would give them strength, you would raise up counselors and people in their life that they might be able to deal and process and manage the trauma that they have faced. And Lord, I pray in all that we say and do in the next few moments, Lord Jesus, you would be glorified. And that God, we gather here today in the freedom that those soldiers have given, but we gather here today to remember there is one who has died for the sins of the world. And for that, we are grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, I wish that you would turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we want to continue in our time together as we walk through the book of Hebrews. Let me also say Just a quick word of update. We do have part of our family across the big pond. They are 8 hours ahead of us, and so it is Sunday night where they are, meaning Sunday morning, early this morning, probably while you were sleeping, at least some of you. They were gathered together with fellow brothers and sisters in Vosnesensk at the church there with Pastor Timothy and others, and they were the guest of honor today. And so there will be some updates about that later on our Facebook page. You can check that out. Miss Linda shared a word of testimony in the church. Jonathan preached, I think I saw a video where they gathered them together and they had them all sing. And so I think they sang "I'll Fly Away" in Vosnesensk there this morning. And then one of the men leading the worship time or picking out the music came and asked via a translator a song that the Americans would like for them to sing so they could sing a part. And so it's very interesting standing there because there in Ukraine in that church standing there, sing a lot of familiar songs to us. Obviously the words are different, but it's fun because you catch on the melody and, you know, you just realize, hey, I know this song. And so, but it is very, very, a very, very special time to be there together. And although it's only two, but multiple languages singing at the same time. And I think for a moment you get a little glimpse of heaven, because the Bible says every tribe, every tongue, and every nation will be gathered around the throne of God. And so it is a very special time. So all of that to say, they had an incredible morning this morning there at the church in Vosnesensk, and they have had some great days of preparation. They're really excited because the director of the school in Agronomia has said that they've got approximately 120 students signed up for the camp that will begin tomorrow. So they will do some ministry in Vosnesensk in the morning. They're just among the streets, among folks, and different things that they plan to do that. And then won't have much time to be able to do that, but because they've got to go and get to Agronomia. It's about a 40 or 45 minute drive roughly from Vosnesensk out to Agronomia. And so they're looking forward to that camp with all of those students. And then also, the plan is for Wednesday night for there to be a special service. They're going to send the kids home and ask them to invite all of their family back and for a special service on Wednesday night. So be praying for our team. Be praying, and not just for our team, but also there's a Ukrainian national team that is there partnering with them, and translators and all the work that goes into it. And so really excited. They are doing some sort of a sports VBS backyard Bible club hybrid, okay, and a rotation of sorts. And so anyway, nonetheless, they are really excited. They've got their feet under them. They're excited for a fun weekend, okay? So be looking for those updates. We've been sending some out via social media. Jonathan's been keeping us updated there with Facebook. And then we'll also try to update you as we can through our prayer chain as different needs and things arise. Okay? All right. Well, Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 14. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may have mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We do lift up our team that's in Ukraine. God, I pray you would minister to them, you would strengthen them, Lord, I pray that you continue to meet all their needs and that, God, you would send folks from the north, the south, the east, and the west to Agronomia to hear the hope of the gospel, and that you would save men, women, boys, and girls. And God, you would do a work that when they came home, we could say, look, a work has been done. It's only been God who's able to do it. And I pray this morning you would bless the preaching of your word, give us clarity and focus and insight into your word, and help us to be obedient to what you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So we want to continue our focus of this superior faithfulness. And we spent time looking at how the Lord Jesus is faithful through chapter 3 and chapter 4. And chapter 1 and 2, Jesus is greater. And that's the supreme, that's the main focus of the entire book of Hebrews. And in 3 and 4, that Jesus is supreme, His superior faithfulness. And last week we talked about His faithful word in Hebrews 11 and 12, or 12 and 13 rather. And then this morning I want to talk to you about Jesus is the supreme high priest. He is the supreme high priest. And so the main idea of the text is this: Jesus is a great high priest who faithfully provides for us. Jesus is the great high priest who faithfully provides for us. And so the question this morning I have for you is, do you trust Jesus in your time of need? In your greatest hour of need, do you look and trust unto Jesus? Now, oftentimes we are quick to nod our head yes and say absolutely and amen, preacher, and all that kind of thing, because we know here, we know cognitively, we know within our mind that we ought to trust Jesus and we can trust Jesus. But I want to say sometimes what we know and what we do are two different things. And so, in your greatest hour of need, in your time of need, and maybe not even your greatest hour, but in your hour of need, do you really look to Jesus? Do you really look to Him first and foremost? Or do you look around for all the human wisdom you can gain and then maybe consider what the Bible and what God has to offer? Well, there's some truths out of our text this morning I want us to focus on. Number one, the faithful high priest demands our faithfulness. The faithful high priest demands our faithfulness. Let's look at the text together here in Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, what's therefore? Because we can trust that Jesus is faithful. He's a faithful servant, and He's faithful to His word. He's faithful to His promises. That was the first 13 verses of Hebrews 4. He's faithful to His promises, then specifically He's faithful with His word. So because He is faithful, therefore, now listen to what it says. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. What's he doing? He is stating this as if these Christians that he is writing to, the audience of the book of Hebrews, already understand that they have a high priest. See, because these are Jews who were converted to Christianity, and prior to their conversion, they were dependent on a man going into the most holy place, offering a sacrifice and interceding on their behalf so that they could have some sort of direction, some sort of communication with God. They were dependent on somebody being a go-between. But now they have converted to Christianity, and the author is arguing, saying, because God is faithful, God's always been faithful, He's faithful to His promises, and since we have a great high priest. Listen to me, church, you got to understand this morning, when Jesus saved you, He gave you everything you need, including direct access to the throne room of heaven. Everybody okay? I felt like that was a good place to say amen. Maybe I'm just feeling myself a little bit this morning. I'm not going to give you another chance. You missed that one. That's your fault. But He has given us direct access, given you all that you need. And He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, hit pause, who is that? He defines it, Jesus, the Son of God, so now pass through the heavens. What's the point of that? Is that Jesus came, we're going to look at this, did all that He needed to do to provide salvation. The Bible teaches us He then goes to heaven, and we're going to see this later in Hebrews. He offers Himself as a sacrifice, which God accepts. So He acts as the sacrifice and as the priest. When God accepts Him, He is seated at the right hand of God. So He passes through the heaven. What's the picture there? Is He went from earth, He went to heaven, offered Himself, and now because of that acceptance of the sacrifice, you have a high priest, that is Jesus. And now if Jesus did all of that, then what does He tell us? Look at the end of verse 14. This is the point here. Let us hold fast. Mark or underline, circle fast. Let us hold fast to our confession. What's our confession? Hopefully, it's the previous phrase, Jesus is the Son of God. Do you remember Jesus asked His disciples, who do they say that I am? One replied, said, Jesus, You are the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, You didn't come up with that on your own. I felt like that, right? Boy, you ain't smart enough to come up with that. Somebody helped you. And heaven helped. So the reality is that if you've never come to a place where you've recognized Jesus as the Son of the living God, you haven't found salvation. But if the Spirit of God has revealed to you, showed to you that Jesus is the Son of the living God, He's done all that you need for salvation, and you surrender your heart and life to Him, because based on that confession, you have a high priest. But listen to what the phrase says. Let us hold fast to our confession. Hold on to, hold fast. Don't let go. Grip with everything of who you are. Like you're on the roller coaster and you don't want to go. You are white knuckled to that dude. Hold fast to it. Don't let go. Why is He telling them that? Because the author knows that as a Christian, all days are not a bed of roses and all days are not easy. And listen to me, church. Although I wholeheartedly believe we live in the greatest nation on the planet, and I'm thankful for all the sacrifices that have been done and have been made. But dear friends, this world is not our home, and we are long since a nation that is Christian friendly. And if you don't believe that, I would encourage you to turn on the news, but to be honest with you, some of you need to turn the news off. It's brainwashing you. And that's another story for another day. But friends, the warning to the Hebrews is saying, you better figure out what you believe and why you believe it and grab a hold of it with all that you are and not let go. Dear friends, we have to be really serious about what we believe. And let me just say while we're here, because His faithfulness demands our faithfulness. Listen to me, church. Listen real carefully. We also have to get really serious about raising up and teaching and reaching a new generation. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to reach their parents, our responsibility to teach their parents. It is our responsibility to tell them, listen, you can't afford to miss Sunday after Sunday. You can't afford to neglect the church. You can't afford, because your kids can't afford it. Here's the, all the statistics about college students when they graduate, high school students when they graduate high school, just the overwhelming percentage, vast majority never return to the church. And if they do, it is much, much later in life. And everybody's saying, well, we're losing our high school students. We're losing our seniors going to college. And what the statistics are showing is that the majority of what your kids believe, they will determine and settle by the time they're in fifth or sixth grade. The percentage of people that change their views after fifth or sixth grade is very, very, very small. So you think about the majority of our kids that are at the other end of the building worshiping the Lord Jesus right now. Some of them, my daughter is only a year or two away from, if the statistics are right, already believing what she will die believing. So let me tell you this, church, we're not losing them as a high school senior. We're not losing them as a freshman in college. We're losing them as elementary kids. Before they get to junior high, we are losing them. And so listen, church, we've got to hold fast to our confession. We've got to believe this with all of our heart, and we've got to live it out like we believe it. That's why I believe it's still important for us to have a time of vacation Bible school or whatever we call it, where we're trying to reach kids, where we're pouring into kids. That's why we took Wednesday nights and said, listen, it's serve night. We're trying to do all we can to reach kids, because listen, if we don't reach them, who will? Let me tell you, listen, there's a whole lot of things that will indoctrinate our kids. There's a whole lot of things out there that'll teach them about priorities. A whole lot of things that'll teach them about what they ought to give their life and time to. I know it. We didn't get on amen ground, did we? We've got to hold fast to our confession, because the faithfulness of Jesus demands our faithfulness. Demands it. Later in Hebrews, we're challenged, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Since He who promised is faithful. Now, here's the reality of that, dear friends. I don't want you to leave with a misunderstanding. Ultimately, it's God who holds us. Ultimately, as we surrender our heart and life to Jesus and we surrender to Him, I'm not talking about this for salvation, because once we surrender our heart and life to Jesus, He saves us. He places us in His hand, and He never lets us go. You can't earn your salvation, and once you are saved, you can't lose your salvation. Hallelujah. Because if it was optional, if it was an option for you to lose your salvation, I know you well enough to know you'd lose it. And I know me well enough too, all right? Some of y'all just got upset. What are you looking at me for? But as we grow in this salvation, there's plenty out there in the world to distract you, to indoctrinate you. There's plenty of things to try to get you off course. And that's why last week we talked about the faithfulness of the Word and the importance of staying in the Word of God. Because how will you hold fast to your confession is you read about your confession a lot. So, the faithful high priest demands our faithfulness. Number two, the faithful high priest identifies with our humanity. It identifies with our humanity. A, humanity was tempted. There's two ways we want to talk about this humanity that verse 15 gives us. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is, look at this, unable, circle or underline that, unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are. So we have this high priest who is faithful, but he is not also, just simply faithful, but he's also one that can identify with our flesh. Why? Because He too put on a flesh suit. But not only did He just come in human form, because if that was it, that would have been really good. But then we would have had somebody, had He never experienced temptation, had He ever never struggled in being tempted, then when you and I come to Him and talk about the struggles that we have, the temptation that we have, it would be almost like a blank stare that He's got nothing to offer, because He can't identify with that. He can't do that. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we have a high priest who is, we don't have one who's unable to sympathize with our weakness. What does that mean? We have one who can sympathize with our weaknesses. How? But one who has been tempted in every way as we are. And so Jesus comes, born of a virgin, puts on a flesh suit, and he experiences temptation and struggle the same way that you and I do. We learned of this in Hebrews chapter 2 because he talks about the difference. Remember, he talks about the author's making the argument Jesus is greater than the angels. Hebrews 2:16, he says, "For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring." Therefore, why did he not do that? He's reaching out to mankind. He had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become a merciful and, here it is, faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God. You needed somebody to argue your case in the presence of God. So Jesus came as a perfect Savior and he put on a flesh suit and experienced the temptations. That way, when you go to him, he can be that faithful go-between between you and God. How did he do that? To make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Because Jesus experienced temptation, he can meet you right where you're at. And he can give you help. You ever had anybody come alongside and try to help you that didn't have the foggiest idea? They'll help you put a motor back together, and they don't even know how to pop the hood. But they will guarantee help you. Aren't you grateful? We don't worship some dead god that sits on your mantle, that succumbed to all the temptations you have, or just was made up in somebody's mind, that never went through the struggles. But rather we serve a faithful high priest, Jesus, the Son of the living God, who is tempted in all ways as we are. Let's talk about that for a moment. I can hear you thinking, saying, "Preacher, well, how was he tempted in all ways that I am?" He did not have an iPhone 12. He didn't have all the horrendous websites. He didn't have all the things at our fingertips that we have. How is it that the Bible can say he was tempted in all ways as we are? I'm glad you ask. 1 John chapter 2, I want you to look at this, and if you have your Bible, you may even flip there. This is a really, I think these next two passages will really be helpful for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John 2:16. "For in everything in the world," and what is John talking about? All sin. All sin. What does he say? Look at this. He gives three categories here. The lust of the flesh, mark or underline that, or write number one by that. The lust of the eyes, mark number two by that one. And the pride in one's possession, or the King James, the pride of life, mark or underline number three there. It is not from the Father, but it is from the world. What is happening? What John is saying here, and stay with me, okay? We're going to jump a creek, all right? What is happening here is John is defining, he is putting sin into categories, and he's put them into three categories: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, or pride of one's possession in CSB. What does that mean? That means that every temptation you've ever faced falls into one of those three categories. It is either a lust of the flesh, a lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And some of them probably fall into multiple ones. But every sin that you've ever faced, every temptation you've ever struggled with, all sin falls into these three buckets, if you will. So John, in 1 John 2, defines that for us. And a matter of fact, if you were to go to Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve were created, they had not had a sin nature because it had not been passed down to them. But when the enemy tempts them, they have the same temptations. They have all three that are present in Genesis 3. The lust of the flesh, that this would be good to eat. The lust of the eyes, look at it, doesn't it look good? And the pride of life, if you eat this, you'll be like God. So in the fall, in the original fall, all three were present. John defines them, says, here's the three buckets. So then again, we ask, how is it that Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are? Flip over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus was led up by the Spirit. This is verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He answered, it is not written, man must not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's the lust of the flesh. He was hungry. Eat this, it'll fill you up. Then the devil took him into the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is also written, do not test the Lord your God. There's the pride of life. The enemy's saying, hey, be prideful. You're Jesus, the Son of God, and he was. Be arrogant. Be boastful about it. Throw yourself off just to see what will happen. And then you go on. Jesus, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Showed him. He said, look out. And he said to him, I will give you all these things if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and began to serve him. So what happens here? This is the lust of the eyes. Take that stone, turn it to bread. You're hungry. There's lust of the flesh. You're Jesus, the Son of God. Throw yourself down and the angels will come and they'll take care of you. There's the pride of life. And then here you have this particular account. Look out and look at what you could have. It's the lust of the eyes. So now look back at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Read this again. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way. You've got to hear this, church. Listen, John defines the three buckets of sin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of sins, all of life's temptation fall into those buckets. And then the writer of Hebrews says, listen, we've got a high priest who's able to sympathize, who's able to meet you right where you are because he's been tempted in every way. Now listen, has it gone through every particular moment in your life and every particular temptation? No, but in the major categories, he has been tempted in those ways. And he can identify with your humanity. That is a faithful God. What does that mean? You'll never find yourself in a place where God can't meet you. In a temptation, in a struggle that he can't sympathize with. So his humanity was tempted. And then B, his humanity was conquered. Look back at verse 15. We did not read the most powerful phrase in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, and then underline this, yet without sin. This is the most powerful phrase of this particular verse. Because had it stopped, had the author simply had to write, he was tempted in all ways as we are. Had the author not been able to record, yet without sin, had it not been able to say that Jesus was without sin, then he would have succumbed to his own sinfulness, to humanity. And had he succumbed to that, had he fallen victim to Satan's temptation, to Satan's traps, had he been sinful, then when he went to Golgotha, when he stood before with the criminals, he too would have been guilty. And he too would have died on a cross, and he too would have been buried, and he would not have been raised from the dead because his sacrifice would not have been acceptable in the eyes of God. He would have not been Jesus, the Son of the living God. He would not be our Messiah. He would not be our atonement. He would not be our faithful high priest. But dear friends, the very inspired, authentic, without error Word of God says he is tempted in all ways as we are. Listen, church, yet without sin. Thank you, Jesus, because we do not gather today to celebrate a dead God. But we gather today, we have a group of individuals who have gone across the world right now, not to tell somebody that there is some bones buried in an empty tomb, but rather to say there is an empty tomb and there is a God that loves you, that sent His one and only begotten Son, born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, went to the cross, got up there, says, "It is finished," laid down His life, the ultimate sacrifice for me and for you. He entered into the throne room of heaven. He offered Himself as a sacrifice, as both sacrifice and priest. The God of the universe accepted that, and now He sits at the right hand of God. And listen to me, He is able to sympathize with your weaknesses. As a victor, and not as some counselor who struggles with the same things and fell victim to the things you have. But rather, He is standing as a victorious God. And the Bible repeats this time and again. 1 John 3:5, you know that He was revealed so that that He might take away sins, and there is no sin in Him. Not a single one. Hebrews 7:25, I like this. Therefore, He is able to save completely. The old King James says, to the uttermost. The old preacher used to say, He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. All right. Save completely those who come to God through Him, since He always lives, look at this, to intercede for them. For this is the kind of high priest we need. What kind? Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Holy, He would not be holy had He sinned. Innocent, He would have died for the guilt of His own sin. Undefiled, He would have been defiled and blameful that He could not have sacrificed Himself. He would not have been separate from sinners, and He would not be exalted had He had sinned. But dear friends, it says, yet without sin. And so, Jesus is a faithful high priest. He identifies with our humanity. His humanity was tempted. His humanity was conquered. And then, number three, the faithful high priest remains accessible. He remains accessible in two ways. I want us to focus on this accessibility of God through our high priest. Is A, He is accessible through prayer. Through prayer, Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, why is therefore? Because He's a sinless high priest, and He can sympathize with our weakness. Look at this. Let us, listen to the invitation, let us approach the throne of grace. How? With boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace. How is it? He's saying, listen, believers, remember, they're coming from a Jewish background, converted to Christianity. There was only one person once a year that could enter into the most holy place. Time and again, they would have to go in, they would have to enter in with blood, sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, and then enter in, offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people, and then quietly back out. But the picture here is that now Jesus is entered in as the atoning work, the blood of the sacrifice. God has accepted this in heaven. Now He lives as the high priest. And what the author is doing here is saying, look, all your life you've had to watch a man go in and come out. Go in and come out on your behalf. And listen, the author, as if he is bending down, as if to invite a child, saying, hey, let's go. Let us go. Let us go. Go where? Boldly. Listen to me, dear friend, to the throne of grace. It's no longer a mercy seat of blood. It's no longer a hidden place of holiness. Rather, it's a place where the great high priest is there and he is longing for his children to come. And the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, listen, something has changed. Come with me. Let us go boldly to the throne room of grace. Let us enter in to heaven. How do we do that? This side of heaven, we do it through prayer. The greatest, most powerful invitation, standing invitation I have as a Christian. If I'm honest with you, church, I probably use it the least. Believer, you have a standing invitation to meet with this Jesus, the Son of the living God. And how often do we really take advantage of it? How often do we really enter into the throne room of heaven? How casual are we? Bible tells us this in Ephesians 3:12, in him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. This is for those who know Christ. You've been saved, you have been redeemed, Jesus has covered you with his righteousness, and that's how the invitation comes, and you and I get to enter in through prayer, seek out, call out, earnestly seek the face and the favor of God. Ephesians 5:17 simply says this, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Now listen. On your drive home, please pray. But don't close your eyes if you're at the wheel. Wait till you get home. But dear friends, the idea here is that as we walk through life, we are in conversation with God. And we are seeking Him. We are spending time with Him. We are seeking the God of all creation. Dear friends, listen to me. Church, I just have to confess and honestly repent before you and ask for your forgiveness, because here's the reality. As a pastor, I don't model this well. And because of that, I've not led our church well to be the church of prayer that we ought to be. But church, we have the invitation to approach, to access the God of all creation through prayer. I think if we're honest, we only do it when things are really bad. Or when we've pursued every other option and we don't know what else to do, we just pray. When the reality is, that's where we got to start. It's where we got to finish. We make too many plans, we make too many decisions with little prayer. We face too many of life's struggles and life's heartaches with little prayer. We try to raise our kids or our grandkids with little prayer. We try to be the husband or wife that God has designed for us to be without prayer. And then the second part of this, He's not only accessible through prayer, but He is accessible in our hour of need. We didn't, again, read maybe the most important part of this, Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace. Remember, mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. That's a throne of grace. We don't deserve to enter into the throne room of heaven. Because Jesus was perfect and sinless in salvation, He applied salvation to our life as we surrender to Him. It's a throne of grace that we're able to come to Him. And when we get there, we receive mercy. We find grace, look at this, to help us in time of need. In time of need. As frail humans, we're always in time of need. Anybody say this morning, preacher, I needed help this morning. I was in time of need. Hey, listen, I get it. I know how Sunday mornings are. A lot of things go well. A lot of things go right. 6 days a week. And then Sunday happens. Some of you facing some of the hardest days of your life, you're in times of need. Some of you facing some of the greatest days of your life, let me encourage you, you're in a time of need. And until we see that consistent time of need, we won't pray without ceasing. Because we don't think we need it. But as you see our greatest time of need, then we become more serious in prayer. Philippians 4 says this and says, my God will supply all your needs. You ever found it fascinating? It doesn't say some. It doesn't say part of them. It says He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So there is a promise that He will meet you in your time of need, and there is a promise that He will supply all your needs. It doesn't get much more thorough than that. He'll meet you in your greatest hour of need. He'll meet you in your time of need, and He'll meet the need. We used to sing the lyric, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Me. So, dear friend, Jesus is a faithful high priest. And my heart gets excited, as you can tell, about thinking that He is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But rather, He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, that we may find mercy and grace in our time of need. Dear friend, I don't know where you're at or what you're struggling with or what you're celebrating. But if you don't yet know Christ, surrender your heart and life to Jesus. The greatest need you'll find in your life, you'll find through prayer. And that is a prayer of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. And He'll meet you. You confess your sin. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. God, be the boss and master of my life. You surrender everything to Him. And the Bible says He'll save you. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, Christian, maybe you're like me. And we need to repent this morning and ask God to forgive us for a little prayer. For not taking advantage of the standing invitation that we have to the throne room of heaven. To living a life of just getting by day in and day out. To facing life's adversity, there's little power in your life. You just get through. You survive. And listen, I realize that sometimes that's just part of life. But I think sometimes we face that because we don't spend much time in prayer. And we no more got the power of God on our life than any other person walking around us. We're just as defeated. We're just as discouraged. We're struggling just as much. And if we're flat-footed honest, it's because we don't spend much time in prayer. We talk about prayer requests. We share prayer requests. We pick up the cards. Do we really spend time in prayer? Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you, God. I pray if there's anybody here who doesn't yet know Christ, God, I pray that they'd repent and believe on you, God. I pray, God, that they would be saved. And God, I pray this morning that, God, they would surrender to you and then they would take a step of boldness and come and share that decision. Call them out, Lord, I pray. And God, I pray, God, forgive me of so often a life of prayerlessness. God, I pray, ask you to forgive us, our church, not spending more intentional time in prayer. God, I pray that we would respond to you this morning in a step of obedience. Whatever that may be, however it may look, God, you be glorified. Your main attitude of prayer this time of invitation is for you. If you prayed and asked God to save you and forgive you of your sins, you come, take my hand, say, Brother Chris, I prayed that. But maybe you just need to come, get on this altar. And you just need to ask God for forgiveness, for prayerlessness, or maybe you just pray right where you're at. That's between you and the Lord. Or maybe you just really need to spend some time in prayer over something that's really burdening you, really struggling with. And you can come, get on this altar. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. God in heaven, I pray in this moment that we would respond in absolute obedience to you. I pray in Jesus' name. This time is for you. You come.
Come.
with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Let's sing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise. The Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Want to take just a moment before we dismiss. I do want to, again, thank you for being here. If you're a guest, please fill out a card. I'd love to connect with you. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. But before we dismiss, I do want to, I mentioned this last week, want to make you aware of our summer missions giving goal. It starts this Sunday. We're excited over the next 15 weeks, and speaking of prayer, you can pray that God would give us the burden, the strength to reach this need. Our summer giving goal is $125,000. Now again, this is not over and above our budget. This is part of our regular budget that we project. We're just saying this summer, this 15-week period is the busiest, most active time of ministry. Hence, we've got a team in Ukraine. And so what we're saying is that this is a time where the most active time of ministry takes place, and this is when we need our church family to be the most faithful in our giving. And many of you give, and you give sacrificially, you give all you can, and for that we want to say thank you. We're grateful for that, and I don't want that misunderstood in any stretch of the imagination. There may be some of us be able to say, hey, I may be able to give a little more, or I haven't been as faithful in my giving, and I want to start even this Sunday of being super faithful in our giving, especially over the summer. And usually the summer is when our consistency in our giving tends to slack off, not be as diligent. One way that you can help with that is you can go to our website, sbcr.org, click on the button that says Give, and you can use the e-check option and set it up as an automatic draft. That's the most cost-effective, if you will. It's just the 30 cents per transaction. You can do that and set it up just as you want to go and give, and as you think about it, you can do that, or you can set it up to be recurring, meaning you can set it up for however you get paid. If you get paid once a month or once a week, you can set up for once a week that certain amount comes out, or once a month, or whatever the case may be. You can also choose to pay that fee for the church as well, however you want to do that. Again, this is in no way replaces our pink envelopes. We're going to continue to take offering like we have been. That's just one way to encourage people to be able to be faithful, as I know summer activities happen, vacations, all that kind of thing. So here's the deal. As you give this morning, yes, our team is in Ukraine. Many of them they've all sacrificed to be there. You have given in different ways to help them to be there above and beyond. But also, part of the ministry and activity that will take place beginning in just a few hours there in Agronomia is a result of your giving through regular tithes and offerings. And so this ministry continues on because you're faithful giving. One example is that it helps provide supplies for that camp. So the team was able to get there. They got t-shirts and they had a stencil and they painted on the King's Witness symbols. You'll see the shirts out there. They weren't able to take 120 shirts with them. They limited on what they can. But they were able to get shirts and they painted those symbols on there. And so a child is going to hear the gospel as a result of that. And hopefully they'll go home, they'll wear that, and maybe even mom and dad or grandmas and grandpas, people in their community, will hear the gospel from a Ukrainian child who hears it because we are faithful in our giving. So know that your regular tithes and offerings impact the kingdom. Amen? And pray that God would find us faithful in this season to meet this goal and exceed this goal for the kingdom and His glory. All right? Well, I'm going to ask our men if they'll get ready to take their place so that we are able to give as we leave today. Again, thank you so much for being here. No evening services tonight, and offices are closed tomorrow. We'll reopen on Tuesday. Hope that you have a great, safe weekend. Let's all stand together, and we will pray and be dismissed, okay? All right, Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. We thank you for your goodness and grace toward us. And I pray this morning, God, that we would honor you in all that we say and do. Continue to be with our team. I pray that we would give in such a way this morning that, God, you would be glorified and you would continue to meet needs and provide ministry opportunities. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.